Well, good morning, One Church. Thank you all so much for joining us here online this morning. Right now, it's a little snowmageddon happening here in Liberty. With Kansas City weather, you never know what's going to happen. You know, they say it's going to be 20 inches of snow, and then you get, an inch of sleet, or you get an inch of ice, or you get a dusting of snow, or you get nothing at all. And so you never know what's going to happen, so we just hope that you are at home, you are warm, safe, and that you're tuning in right now with us, and we're together as a family. Even though we're separate in our own cozy homes, maybe sipping on some hot chocolate, we are gathered together as one community this morning. So thank you guys for joining us, and Happy New Year! It's 2025! Woohoo! So we made it into the new year. I'm excited about what God has in store for us this year. It's going to be a wonderful time of God's redemption. Like I said last week, it's not about resolutions. It's about the redemption of God, what He's done. And we took last Sunday to take time to reflect and look back at 2024 and the peaks and the valleys and how God was moving through all of that. And so we realized that God redeems all things, right? He doesn't waste anything. And so I'm excited to see more of that in 2025, this coming year. And so as I was praying about this year and about what God had in store for us, God kept bringing this phrase to my heart and to my mind, and it was, paint a picture. Paint a picture of the future. And so anytime you have a vision or a dream, you want to paint kind of the picture of the end game. Like, where am I going? What is the destination of my journey? Like, we need to know where we're going if we're going to know how to get there, right? And so God wants us to paint a picture of where it is that He is leading us into this next year. So who am I going to be at the end of 2025? What kind of person am I being formed into in this next year? What is God asking of me? So we can ask ourselves, you know, who do I want to be? We could ask ourselves, who does God want me to be? That's probably a better question to ask, right? And then who has He destined for me to be? What is His destiny for me in 2025? Because God always has a plan, right? And He wants to do things in us. He wants to form us intentionally in our lives. And so when we look forward, what is the picture that God is painting for us? Well, what's awesome as followers of Jesus is that Scripture tells us and gives us a clear eye view of who He has destined for us to be. So Romans chapter 8, verse 29 says this. You're not going to see it on the screen because I forgot to put in the notes, but this is it. It is that we are, as followers of Jesus, predestined. So in other words, predetermined destiny. What God has determined before we were even born. We are predestined to be conformed into the image of God's Son, of Jesus Christ. That is our destiny, to be formed into His image. To look like, to talk like, to live like, to love like, to have relationships like, to work like Jesus in this present context and culture. That is the destiny for you and for me. That's God's destiny for us, is to be like Jesus. But the picture that God is inviting us to paint is this. What does it look like to be like Jesus in your marriage? How would Jesus connect and love His spouse? If He were you, how would He love your spouse? How would Jesus parent your kids? How would He love His family, your family? What would Jesus do if He was at your job and in your workplace? How would He love the people around you? How would He care for them? What would Jesus be like in your neighborhood with the people that live next door to you? How would He interact with them? And so that is the picture that God is inviting us to paint for this year and for our lives even, is what does it look like to be like Jesus in this time, in this context, in this culture? That is your destiny. That is my destiny that is predetermined by God. And so that's where we're going. We have this beautiful, clear-eye view. How many people are desperate for that in this world? They want a direction. They're looking for some aim, and they don't know what to give their attention to or give their heart to. You and I have that. How awesome is that? And so as I was thinking about what Jesus would look like in my life and how free he would be to just love God, to love people, to not be concerned about people's opinions, to not be afraid of rejection or afraid of failure, to not have any anxiety or worry in his life, no shame or doubt or fear, have no addictions, anything that's pulling at him that he needs to have. Jesus would have no bitterness in his heart towards anyone. He would have no woundedness from his past and in relationships, and he would trust God completely that he was going to provide every single need that he had. Man, that sounds like freedom, living freely and lightly. And as I was seeing that picture for myself and for our church, that was the word that God dropped into my heart. And it is the word for this year, for our church, our focus for 2025, and that is freedom. Freedom. Jesus was free, completely. He didn't carry any of that weight in his life. And that is what we are going to be living into, and that is the title of my message this morning, freedom. So, today is a special Sunday. It is Vision Sunday. We are going to be casting vision for 2025. How are we going to live into this word for the year of freedom? And as we looked at last year, God doesn't waste anything. There's nothing that he wastes. He redeems all things. And so even our losses, even our hardships, even the difficult obstacles that we face, our valleys. It's funny, as Katie and I were looking back at last year, we realized that our valleys and our peaks were the same thing. A lot of times it was like, wait, that it's kind of the same. Like, that was the valley and the peak, you know? And that's funny how that works out for us as we follow Jesus, is that many times that is the case in our lives. God takes those valleys and he turns them into these formative experiences that transform us and draw us closer to himself. And so that's what we can expect in 2025, more of the same, more of that redemption. But why do we need to have vision? Like, what is the purpose of having vision? Why do we need a word for the year? Well, I want to speak to that briefly. Three different reasons why we need vision in our lives, why we have a vision as a church, and why we need vision for each year. Number one, vision guards us from complacency. It guards us from being complacent. Hebrews 6, 10 through 12 says this: God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. So he doesn't want us to become lazy, to just become complacent in our lives. It can be so easy to just do the same things that we've always done, or to just get caught up with the day-to-day tasks of our lives, or the responsibilities we have at work, or the responsibilities we have at home, and to become complacent in our spiritual life because we're too focused on the natural world. We're too focused on meeting our needs and doing those things that we forget to be intentional about our formation, because we are being formed. You and I are always being formed into a type of person. The question is, what type of person are we being formed into, and what is forming us? It's our decision. We can be intentionally formed, and we can choose what forms us, or if we just throw off everything and become complacent, then the world around us is going to form us into a certain type of person. So having vision gives us something to aim for. It gives us that picture, right? So that we're not becoming complacent. We have a destination. So then we can take steps towards that aim and towards that goal. And so it keeps us from just living into that lazy, complacent attitude, that apathetic spirituality that is so easy. Let's be real. It's easy. It's easy to get caught up in that. It's easy to do that. And so we have to be intentional, and vision helps us in that process. Number two, vision gives us direction. Gives us direction. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified. I'm sorry, it's not the same translation you have. Therefore, see that you walk carefully, living life with honor, purpose, and courage, shunning those who tolerate and enable evil, not as the unwise, but as wise, sensible, intelligent, discerning people, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of each opportunity, using it with wisdom and diligence, because the days are filled with evil. Therefore, do not be foolish and thoughtless, but understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is wickedness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit and constantly guided by Him. To understand and to firmly grasp what the will of God is. So we understand what God's will is in Scripture, right? We plan by the principles of Scripture, but then we live by the presence of God's voice in our life. So as we're living out the principles of Scripture, in the day-to-day, moment-to-moment time, we're being attentive to what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do in a conversation, in relationship with a person, how to live into each moment. God directs us. He guides us. The Spirit of God guides us into all truth. And vision gives us direction. It gives us a focus because, let's be real, if we're going to say, hey, this year, my goal is to be like Jesus. That's a huge goal. That is so broad. There's so many things that we could do to be like Jesus. What happens is, it's the dilemma of choice. We have so many different directions that we can go in that we try to go in all of them, and then we kind of halfway do half of them, and then we end up just giving up and not doing anything. And that's what happens. So we need a focus. We can focus on, as humans, like one idea at a time. So just one thing. And that's why we have one word. Now, freedom is a broad word. There's a lot to it. But it gives us focus. Because this is what will happen. If we don't have direction, then we will drift. And this is what I mean. Vision leaks and values drift. So our culture in the world that we live in has a current. And that current is going in the opposite direction of God. Okay, so if we aren't intentional, if we don't have a direction, then what will happen is that current will cause us to drift. And then after a year, after a few years, after a few months even, we can wake up and realize, wow, we're far from God. Because it will naturally happen. If we don't have a direction, then we will just naturally drift, and there will be a margin between us and our relationship with the living God. So, vision gives us direction. It helps us to say, okay, now I have something I'm aiming at. I'm not complacent. I have direction. I know where I'm going. It's not too much. It's just one thing, one focus, and so we're going to move forward with that. And number three, the last thing is vision inspires faith and perseverance. Habakkuk 2, 2 and 3 says, and the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. It's easy to lose faith in our world. It's easy to just not have that inspiration, you know, to just kind of become apathetic. Now, vision inspires faith. It's like, oh, there is a place to go. There is more of God to discover. There is more for him in my life. When he says, when Jesus' prayer was that his kingdom would come and his will would be done on earth as it is in heaven, that is a huge statement. The reality of heaven in our present world and in our life, that is a major thing. So there is so much more to live into. And vision inspires faith in us and the patience and perseverance we need to keep pressing on, even when our circumstances seem dull and seem dreary and seem hard, because that's, let's be real, that's most of the time. When we have faith, then we can continue to press on and persevere with excitement and inspiration instead of just expecting the expected. Right? That's the easy thing to do. Expect the expected. But Jesus doesn't want us to live that way. He constantly said challenging statements, big ideas that inspired faith in his followers. Crazy, crazy stuff. So listen, he wants to have us to have a childlike faith. These are the type of statements he said. Matthew 28, 18 and 19, right? This is the Great Commission. He says, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" That's a big statement. All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. "Therefore, go and make disciples or apprentices of all nations." That is a huge thing. Go make apprentices of every nation in the world. And by the way, all authority in heaven's given to me, and I'm giving that authority to you. And then go make apprentices in all of the world. That's a huge statement. Mark 16, 16 through 18. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe in my name. They will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well." These are huge statements Jesus is making. He told his disciples in Matthew 10, he sent them out and he says, "Hey, go cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give." You know, no big deal. Just go do those things, you know? That's a normal day, right? Crazy stuff, but he expected them to do it. And guess what? They went and they did it. And then in the early church, in the book of Acts, they went and they did it. They did these things. This is what he invites us to do. And then in John 14, 12 through 14, he says this, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." That's crazy. "And they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Prayer, hello, prayer is powerful. He's saying it right there. Anything in my name. The works that I do, you're going to do. Greater works, you're going to do. So he's clearly inspiring our faith. He's saying heaven can come to earth. And you can expect that. Matthew 21, 21 through 22 says, Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." I think Jesus wanted his disciples to be inspired to believe for God's heaven, the realities of heaven to be on the earth, his kingdom established here in everyday life. And then they went and did those things. So God wants us to be full of faith going into this next year. He wants us to be full of faith. Jesus wanted his disciples to believe for the fullness of God, which brings me to our word for the year, freedom, right? So what is freedom? You might think, well, I live in a free country. I am free. I don't need freedom. What are you talking about? What do you say? I'm bound? What are you saying? Why do I need freedom? John chapter 8, verse 33 through 36 says, "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?' Jesus replied, 'Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed.'" We all need freedom. We all need freedom from the power and influence of sin in our lives. Sin can work in us, in our bodies. Sin is all around us. Clearly, you can see it in our culture around us. Our world literally celebrates sin. It celebrates it. Wickedness is like something it's like a badge of honor. And so that's what we're surrounded by, but sin also works in us. Sin can infect and touch our thoughts, our emotions, our feelings. Sin can infect our relationships. Paul said, I do the things that I don't want to do. He said, not I, but sin in me, sin working in me. And so sin in us, the sin nature, the flesh, it touches every part of our lives. It can. It can infect our marriages, our families, our parenting, our workplace, our neighborhood. Every part of our life can be touched and infected by sin. So we all need freedom from its influence and its power in our lives. And that freedom is one of our values. That's our value. One of our nine values is freedom. And this is how we define freedom. Freedom is pursuing whole life transformation. Because sin can touch every part of our lives, freedom is the freedom from sin's influence and its power in every area of our life. It's whole life transformation, freedom in every part of our life. Freedom in our relationships, freedom in our thoughts, freedom in our emotions, in our heart, every part of us. So freedom from addiction. That this is something that we're going to be pursuing this year, freedom from addiction, whether it's pornography or drugs or alcohol or cigarettes. Those are like the big ones, but also freedom from the need, any need, something that you need to survive, like freedom from television even. Like if we have an addiction to that, an addiction to workaholism, right? A freedom from the addiction to social media. Like there's so many different things that we have accepted as this is something I need, I have to have. That's an addiction. Well, we can experience freedom from that. We don't have to have anything but the presence of Jesus and loving relationships in our life. So we can experience freedom from addiction, freedom from oppression. So shame and guilt and fear and doubt, depression, anxiety, all those feelings, that weightiness that we carry in our lives, a spirit, the Bible calls it a spirit of heaviness, literally. The oil of joy for mourning, this is what Jesus provides us. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so we don't have to feel that weighted oppression in our lives because Jesus has purchased our freedom on the cross. And so we can throw off that weighty feeling of oppression in our lives. We can be free from that shame that defines us and says that we're not enough. Freedom from depression, freedom from worry and stress and anxiety that can be crippling in our lives. We're pursuing freedom from oppression, freedom from bitterness, that we don't have to hold on to the bitterness that has come, the offenses that have come in our lives when people have wronged us and truly wronged us. And then we have roots of bitterness to where it's hard for us to be free to love God and to love people because we continue to look through life through a lens of bitterness because we've been wounded. And so we have this anger and this resentment that's deep in us and it's affecting the way we live in our lives. We can be free from that. Freedom from woundedness, from the relationships of our past, from things that have been done to us, from things that we've been carrying in our spirits, in our hearts for years and years. Complete freedom and healing from that woundedness. Complete restoration in our marriages, to where our marriages are healthy and thriving and we love our spouses and we are loved by our spouses and we have these amazing marriages, these amazing healthy family dynamics and family homes. This is something that Jesus has purchased for us that we can live into this year. Freedom from poverty, the curse of poverty, to where we are constantly living in debt and we're always worried about how we're going to make ends meet and we're constantly looking and lacking and needing to work overtime hours and all these different things that we have to do to help provide for our family. The early church would gather everything that they could and to meet every need that was in the early church so that no one was lacking. Can you imagine if we lived into the fullness of that freedom this year? Freedom from addiction, oppression, bitterness, woundedness, poverty. So this year we're going to be doing things like this summer we're going to have a financial peace university. And we're going to talk about how to live in financial freedom and debt free and how to do that and give us tools that we need to experience that. We're going to have a marriage course this year where we pour into the marriages of our church and see them thrive and have healthy dynamics and freedom. A freedom retreat this year as well that we have to look forward to. That's going to be amazing. But first, we need to lay a foundation. We're going to do all these things. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to have a great year. But there is a foundation for freedom that is in Scripture. And there's three parts to this foundation. Number one, we need to lay the foundation of truth. Meditating on Scripture together as a body. Meditating on Scripture together. John 8:31-32 says, "To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, 'If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.'" Hold to his teachings, then you'll know it, and then the truth is going to set you free. Just like we talked about those I am statements, speaking truth over our lives to all the lies of the enemy and the deception of the enemy. What did Jesus do when he was tempted by the devil? He spoke the word. He quoted Scripture. The devil comes to him and he says, "Hey, you've been fasting for a long time. You're probably pretty hungry." And Jesus is like, "Yeah, he was hungry. The Bible says he was hungry." And he says, "Hey, make these stones become bread." And Jesus says, "It is written, man shall live by bread alone. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And then the devil takes him on the temple and says, "Hey, it's written that he will give his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against the stone. They'll lift you up. So throw yourself off the temple. They'll catch you." And Jesus says, "It is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Then the devil says, "Hey, look at all the kingdoms of the world. I'll give all these to you if you bow down and worship me." And then Jesus said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Every time the enemy came to tempt him, what did Jesus do? He wielded the sword of the Spirit. He quoted Scripture, the truth of God. And if Jesus did it, then we need to do it, right? If he had to do it, then we need to do it. So this is what we're going to do. We are going to do a Bible reading plan together as a church. Okay, we are going to read Scripture together. Okay, we're going to read through and we're going to do it simple. Okay, it's only going to be a chapter a week. That's it. So it's not a ton. And this is why. I want us to meditate on the Scripture. Meditate just means to mull it over in your mind, to think on it and let it kind of take roots in your heart. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to take Scripture and we're going to meditate on that Scripture. There's a practice called Lectio Divina. And basically what that is taking time to do that, to mull over the word. So you read a short passage, a few verses, which if we're reading a chapter a week, each day reading will be just a few verses. And you ask God before you read it, you say, "Lord, speak to me. Speak to me in your word. May this come alive to me." And you start reading and looking for something that pops out to you, maybe a specific word or a phrase from that passage. And then you pray into that and you say, "All right, Lord," and you read it again. And this time you're asking God, "What are you telling me through that? What are you speaking to me about that word?" And you read it slowly again, even placing yourself in the story. Just a few verses. "God, what are you speaking to me?" And then when God reveals something to you or something's highlighted to you, you pray that into your life. Whatever he highlighted. Maybe you see in Zechariah in Luke 1, his faithfulness. And you say, "Lord, help me to be faithful like Zechariah." You're praying that Scripture into your life. It's as simple as that. So we're going to do that, though, together as a church. Okay? And so it's going to be great, and it's going to be simple every week, and we're going to do that. So we're going to meditate on Scripture together. Number two, the Holy Spirit, laying the foundation for freedom. We need the Holy Spirit inviting the Spirit of God into all things. 2 Corinthians 3:16-18 says, "But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Where his Spirit is, and guess what? His Spirit's in us. There is freedom, and we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being what? Transformed into his image. Again, that's our destiny. Transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It brings freedom in our lives. The Spirit, the Bible says, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, right? The power of the Holy Spirit brought healing and freedom to so many in the book of Acts and in the Gospels. And so we are going to ask for the Holy Spirit to be poured out in every service, in every outreach, every group, every class, every course. We're going to ask for the Holy Spirit because without Him, we can't do nothing. We can't do anything without Him. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So it's the combination of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Scriptures that brings freedom. It's because of the Holy Spirit that we have the Scripture, right? They're Spirit-breathed. The Holy Spirit breathed and spoke on those who wrote the Word. And so it's Spirit-inspired, but also we hear the voice of God by the Holy Spirit speaking through the Scripture. So we need God, the Spirit of God, to speak to us and guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit plus Holy Scriptures equals freedom. And so those are two holy things set apart from God for us and for us thriving. And that's how we live into freedom. That's the foundation of freedom, is the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit. John 4, 23 through 24 says, "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and His worshipers must worship in the Spirit and truth." So Spirit and truth, that's what we're going to do. That's the foundation we're going to lay. And then the third thing, the final thing here, is prayer. Jesus said it, asking for God's kingdom with shameless audacity. That's what Jesus said to do, to use shameless audacity as we ask. Luke 11, 5 through 9 says, "Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread.'" At midnight, you're a great friend. "A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.'" I can't imagine someone would say, "Don't bother me at midnight," and I don't get it. But he says, "I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Jesus says, ask with shameless audacity for God's kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ask for that. That's what He tells us to pray. And then He tells us how to pray with shameless audacity. E.M. Bounds said, not that prayer doesn't prepare us for the greater work. Prayer is the greater work. And so we need to lay the foundation. We're going to meditate on Scripture. We're going to invite the power of the Holy Spirit. And we are going to pray God's kingdom come with shameless audacity. And we are going to live into the fullness of freedom in 2025. So I want to close with this. We're going to lean into this together. And here's a few things that we're going to do. Kind of a picture, painting a picture of this year. We're doing the Bible reading plan. In fact, we can pull that up on your screen here. We have a little picture of the Bible reading plan, and you can see here we're doing 2 books of the Bible. We're reading through the Gospel of Luke first, and then we're going to read through the book of Proverbs. So a book in the New Testament, Old Testament, and again, you see there, 1 chapter a week. That's it. And so January 5th, it tells you the Sunday of the beginning of each week, that week, so the week following that. So this week, we're reading through Luke chapter 1, okay? So starting today, and just divide it up, read it up. And then if you read it all in the first 2 days, great, excellent. Read it again later on, that's fine. And if you want to read more, you can. But this is what we're going to do collectively together. And then each Sunday, we're going to share something from that chapter that we read together that week. And so it might not be the message, but we're going to share a little something that God spoke to us. And so we're going to do it, meditate on word, Lectio Divina, and I'm going to send that out as an email to you, a little guide on how to practice Lectio Divina this week, so we can live into that together, okay? So we're going to study Scripture together, meditate on it, and then as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned and prayer, we are going to have a quarterly worship nights, and weeks of prayer. So every quarter, every 3 months, we start out with the awakening time. So next Sunday, we're going to be kicking off our awakening season of prayer and fasting. So we're going to kick that off, and we'll have a worship night every Wednesday night for those 3 weeks. And then we'll have a prayer meeting as well. But each quarter, we'll have a worship night, and we'll have a week of prayer. And so we're going to continue to practice prayer collectively together, and we're going to create a space for the Holy Spirit to move freely as we worship God as one body. Man, I am so excited about what this is going to bring to us, to our church, to each one of you individually. And in the fall, our fall immersive is going to be on freedom, and we're going to capstone that immersive with a freedom retreat, and it's going to be excellent. So super excited about that. This is going to be an amazing year, guys. So I can't wait to live into all this with you all and see what God does and how he brings freedom to every part of our lives. We're going to do it together as a church because we are a family. Amen? Awesome. Well, I love you guys so much. I just want to remind you before you turn off your streaming device. Also, if you wanted to give your tithes and offerings this week, you can do that online. Since we're not having church in person, you can do that online at our website. There's a link for that there. And we're excited about that. Thank you for doing that. And then also, this week I'm going to be sending out an email for Lectio Divina. And then the other thing I want to let you know is that God is going to show up as you read the Word of God, as you read Scripture. He's going to show up in a powerful way. Expect that. Expect to hear God's voice as you read the Word. It's going to be so good. So, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May his countenance rise upon you and may he give you peace. I love you all. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy the snow. Make an igloo, snowman, have a snowball fight. It's going to be awesome. And stay warm. We'll see you guys next week. Love you.